Christina, you know, you mentioned you're sort of going into families' homes now, and they're coming into your home, and that can be both a comforting and a really uncomfortable thing for families. So, if anybody wants to speak to that, you know, how do you deal with that kind of distrust of schools and educators when you're engaging with someone from their home?
There's this frustration of like assessments not being valid or students not doing their own work. One of the solutions was, and I was very upset about, I'm trying to fight against this, is more surveillance. You know, keep the camera on so that you watch the student. And my feeling is, well, why don't we just connect with the parent and show them how we get what we want? You know, like the assessment is going to be invalid anyway. I mean, or valid or invalid, doesn't really matter. You don't have control over this environment. And so I don't feel like surveillance is going to make a better student or a better learner. So there's different aspects of trust that are going on right now with technology, with going into people's homes, and with the parent and the teacher. But the idea of keeping the camera on wasn't necessarily a teacher's idea, but it's also kind of like this brainstorming that we have with administration that these ideas come up. And they're quick fixes. They're not long-term, and they're not making a better school. In my opinion.
I think those are all really helpful suggestions. Tanit, did you have something you wanted to add on that topic?
Yeah, I just think to that point, you know, I've had teachers reach out to me and say they had a student that never got on their camera that never showed their camera, their video last school year. And they turned in every assignment, and they were doing that assignment from their vehicle. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's just, when we make some of these decisions, right, that seem like about control and compliance, I think it just continues to be a reflection of how we've always thought about certain groups of people in society. And so, you know, communities of colors have always been surveillanced. And so we want to think about how, you know, we talk about the school to prison pipeline a lot. These are the ways that schools funnel into that prison pipeline, from things like you have to have your camera on, or some of these things. And again, when it talks about including the voices of families, this is where it becomes important, because I think we have, you know, as educators, made the work so hard of trying to get together with just ourselves and think about what's best. Imagine if you were working with some of those organizations in the community that would say, oh no, that's not a good idea, right? They already are being surveillance. So just really getting outside of ourselves and thinking about, we don't have all the solutions, but if we partner with families and communities, we will arrive at those, right? And always being flexible. These rules that just apply, you know, equity is coming with the idea that even if there was, the district said everybody had to be on video, being able to say that's just not going to work for this particular family, because it's seven kids in one house and one, you know, in one room, all on the same Zoom call, right, on different Zoom calls. So we have to be very realistic. We have to be willing to get out of the cookie cutter model and realize, you know, and always be flexible.
And definitely echoing everything that Trinette said. In addition, one point that I hone in as well is for a strategy, partnering with your local community organizations that are very much untapped resources. For some communities, that's going to be your faith-based community who may be already reaching out to your school saying, hey, I got space. I can't hold services. You give me a staff here that can help me out. Hey, I will do whatever I can for you. And begin to start thinking outside the box there. And believe it or not, the benefits becomes twofold. I can say in Spokane Public Schools, we have staff that's on staff right now, and their title is not pastor, but since they are pastor in the community before and well known as a community leader, guess what? Administrators and everybody and have started adopting saying pastor. I'm like, well, you gotta be careful, but I'm like, well, pastor, go ahead, pastor. That's pastor. The students know them as pastor. They're not thinking about the religious connotation or what have you. And so what happens when potential incidents of mistrust happen that can build extreme mistrust, they have a person right in the building who can actually communicate and can actually bring people together and help mediate potential very conflictual situations. And so I'll say, reach out, take the time to reach out even more to your community and vet them out, of course, no proselytizing. I mean, no proselytizing whatsoever. Vet them out and openly let them come alongside you. I know about teachers to where we've walked into the school and the teacher is outside of the room and that leader, that community leader is leading the class. We're like, I don't know what pedagogy strategy he's using, but they're sitting down, they're listening, and they're responding. So, hey, that works. And that goes back to Trinette's point. We have to take the moment when we begin to start looking at learning forward and understand that our system was antiquated and everybody knows it. And it's a great opportunity to do something good for our community, our family, and everybody that's involved in this whole process that we call education.